of imagination. My talk title is Scissors of the Mind. Scissors of the Mind. And I chose that title because imagination is the power to shape and form thought, where the formless takes form through what we're imagining. We take ideas, we clothe them with substance. Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, describes imagination as the power within human beings to convert the substance of thought into reality. So it takes our thoughts and gives them form. Webster defines imagination as the act of forming mental images or concepts of what is not actually present to the senses. So it's about making the invisible visible. Isn't that cool? Really, making the invisible visible. There was light. Thank you. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word that is translated as imagination actually means squeezing into shape. So to mold or form something the way a potter might mold a lump of clay. So someone with a few colors and a canvas can capture magnificence from this imagination. You know, someone can write music notes that translates into beautiful music, or a poem that can inspire us. And so it's easy to see that art is bringing forth what is imagined, but it goes way, way beyond that. Fillmore said this: it is well known that the artist sees in mind every picture that's put on canvas. Humanity and the universe are a series of pictures in the mind of being. Isn't that awesome? We are pictures in the mind of being. We are the sculptors of our own lives, and we're always forming works of art. And that is the good news and the bad news. The universe presents us with that bolt of fabric or the canvas or the paper or the clay, and then we decide what we do with it. So do not discount your power of imagination. Have you ever said, "It's just my imagination"? As if it was insignificant in some way? Well, from now on, let's change that to this. Watch out, world, my imagination's at work. Say that with me. Watch out, world, my imagination is at work. Because I love this quote from Picasso: everything you can imagine is real. Imagine that. What we can conceive of already exists in potential in the unified field. We have the ability to perceive limitless possibility and bring it into manifestation. So this formative power of the mind shapes potential into reality, and New Thought author Neville Goddard calls imagination the very gateway of reality. Do you feel the power in that? The very gateway of reality. It's up to us to take what is imagined, to put attention on it, to put feet under it, feeling behind it, and then take action around it to bring it into manifestation. Because Dr. Maria Montessori said this: imagination doesn't become great until human beings with courage and strength use it to create. So we don't just daydream. We do that, but then there's more to do. You know, we have to take our energy, our attention, and that's what it takes to bring forth what we envision. But we begin within. If we can't see it here, we're not going to see it out there. And so this is a spiritual science. Unity has taught this for decades. If you remember Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's other co-founder, she used the vision of her mind to work with tuberculosis, to see every cell, envisioned it whole, perfect. So she used it for healing, and this movement sprung up around that. That's our roots, is using the visioning power of the mind to change. So it's Unity's been teaching this forever, but it's not only in Unity circles we hear this. You know, mind movies, this is the whole thing behind mind movies. Visualize what you want, see it, get feeling behind it to bring it into fruition. Athletes use this, martial arts, success coaches. Mental rehearsal is a very common teaching, to see it and then do it. In psychology, William James tells us there's a law that if you form a picture in your mind of what you would like it to be, and if you keep and hold that picture long enough, you become exactly as you've been thinking. Do you know what I'm talking about here? We become what we envision. I read the story of a man named Lu Chi Kung, and I'm probably saying that wrong, but he is living proof of this statement. 1 year after placing second in an international piano competition, he was imprisoned during the Cultural Revolution in China. And during the 7 years that he was in prison, he was denied use of a piano. And then as soon as he was released, he went back on tour. And audiences, critics, they just couldn't believe that he was actually better than ever after this long absence. And he said, "I practiced every day for 7 years. I rehearsed every piece I had ever played, note by note, in my mind." And Tawny, I'm sure you would love a student like that, wouldn't you? Yes.
I have one right here.
Oh, see, there you go. We have proof positive that this works. So what did he do when he was doing this? He kept those neural pathways that had been formed from years and years of playing, he kept them clear. He kept them strong. He kept following those pathways in his mind, putting his energy, his attention on it, and to bring it into manifestation. So everything originates with an idea. That's how life creates. Everything that is manifest was once an idea and was formed into expression. You and I are divine ideas in expression. Do you know that about yourself? Look around. This is good ideas, don't you think? This example of very, very good ideas. So how are you using your power of imagination? Because we can misuse that power, can't we? You know? And the misuse of imagination is called worry. You ever worried about something, fretted about it, imagined how it will be? Anyone? So I shared with the first service that for some reason I was in that fretful place all week about this talk. I just kept writing it and fretting and fretting. And the first service was an example of my psyche out there on the screen for all to see, with tons of chaos and confusion and just things going strange. And so when I got up here, I owned it. I said, okay, that was all because of me, because I was putting out there this imagination. I was creating this whole thing that I owned, but it's gone now. I got over it. So we know that this service is going smoothly. But Deepak Chopra, Deepak Chopra said this: the best use of imagination is creativity, the worst use is anxiety. And so we can get to that place of worry. We can get caught up in the worrying, the fretting, and then we can't even see solutions that are wanting to be, you know, emerge for us. We can't even see them. Our energy actually begins to block the divine inspiration that could be flowing to us. We do that to ourselves when we're fretting and worrying. And if you heard the scripture, "That which I fear has come upon me," book of Job, poor old Job. But it's like what we are holding in mind. If we are holding something in mind that we desire, we are drawing it in. If we're holding something in mind that we are trying to not have come, we're resisting, we are just as tethered to that as the other way. And so we want to be aware of that. Because the good news is this: that same power that awfulizes things can also picture things we want to bring forth. We can focus on that. Freedom from pain, a sound body, a life of prosperity, whatever it is, we have that same imaginative faculty that we do when we're fretting about all the things that could go wrong. We can do the same for all the things that can go right. And so we can use this power constructively or destructively. And if we don't like what we're seeing out there on that screen of life, we have the power to change it. Change that inner slide so that what's getting projected is much more to our liking. So how do we do that? Well, according to Abraham, look around less, imagine more, until the imagery is the most familiar vibration you have. So our power of imagination allows us to go beyond what the outer appearance is. Look around less. Look within more. And let that be your truth. Because what happens is that an inner authority of imagination can override the outer authority of so-called facts or appearances. Do you see that? And that's where we want to get to. That's where we want to go. So it's not that we're going to start shaping divine energy. We are doing it right now. Make no mistake. We are doing it always. We're using our mental scissors, whether we know it or not. So we want our desires and our goals to be guided by that greater mind within us and allow that to come forth. Allow that to bring us the vision. What is Spirit's vision for my life? And then we're together in the co-creative process of getting the vision and then stepping forward to make it happen. So I want to invite all of us to take a moment and close our eyes. And now imagine a piece of juicy lemon in your hand, a slice of lemon. Can you see it? Picture it. Now picture yourself biting into that lemon. What's happening in your body? Okay, you can open your eyes. Did any of you have a reaction of puckering? Yes. Because that is, our bodies can react to whatever we're imagining as if it were real, not just fantasy. So the first step is imagine it, then feel it. That's really important. We want to get that vision, then we want to get feeling behind it, and then focus our energy and intention on what we are envisioning. And when we do that, we start to move forward towards what it is we want to create. Sometimes we can just bump smack dab into a belief that maybe is telling us that this can't happen. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyone? Have you ever had that happen to you? Because, I mean, so here's the question. Do you believe through imagination we can demonstrate a more abundant and peaceful world? That we can shape and reshape our self-image, our homes, our bodies, our health, career, relationship, planet? Or that we can take action to heal divisiveness and polarization that we might see in the political, social realm? So we may have to climb over a few beliefs to get there, right? It's important that we do that, but we can do it. We can do it. Aristotle proclaimed in 350 BCE that women had fewer teeth than men. For almost 2,000 years, that was the accepted wisdom in the Western world. Until one day, somebody counted. And then that belief went out the window pretty quick. And we might laugh at that foolishness, but you know what? It was not so long ago that women did not have a vote, that African Americans were denied civil rights, things that today we just can't believe were accepted. So here's a question. Will future generations point in our direction with amazed judgment and wonder, what on earth were those people thinking? Do you think that might happen? Things that we just accept as facts of life, like war, harming the earth, harming each other. Our beliefs and our assumptions and our cultural beliefs and assumptions are big hurdles that we have to get beyond before we can imagine what can be. And to do that, we may have to widen our capacity for astonishment. I love that. Widen your capacity for astonishment. That's a prerequisite in letting Spirit guide our vision because we don't know what Spirit's, you know, going to show us. Einstein, but here's the thing. Doesn't matter what that belief, we need to get over it because here's why. Here's exactly why. Einstein said, everything is energy and that's all there is to it. match the frequency of the reality you want, you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. And this is not philosophy, it's physics. Isn't that great? He was big on imagination. He said it was greater than knowledge. He called it a preview of life's coming attractions. Isn't that the best? So I invite us all to picture those coming attractions the way we want them to be for ourselves, do you see, and for each other, and for our families, and for our center, and for our world. I encourage us to begin to imagine the world we want to see, a world without fear, a world of peace, a world of plenty, a world of security for all, where truth is a guiding principle. Can you imagine such a thing? Where love reigns supreme. A world where anything is possible because it is. Anything is possible. Oh. So here's something. Within your imagination is held ideas and possibilities yet unrealized. Do you feel that? So are you ready to unleash them?
Yes.
So that's the question we want to ask. Can I see and feel that world that I want to bring forth? And so here, are you willing to match the frequency of the reality of your vision? Are you ready to actualize that world? Are you willing to do the inner transformative work that is needed in order to move us there?
Yes.
As Gary has asked in the past, are you on the transformation team, bringing your piece of the puzzle to contribute to this paradigm shift? Do you feel the power of that? A few weeks ago, I spoke about spirituality going through a major change every 500 years or so. Not only that, but the change mirrors the cultural changes as well. So, for instance, the monastic tradition sprang up, and it mirrored the feudal system that was in place at the time. And then the Pope showed up, mirroring a monarchy. And then the Reformation, a more democratic way of choosing leadership. And we are now poised at another 500-year mark. So what does that tell us? I mean, are you ready for a paradigm shift?
Yes.
Say it like you mean it. What that tells me is that there is something new that is emerging, trying to emerge. Not just spiritually, but culturally, socially. Institutions that we have thought were pretty solid forever, what's happening to them? Yeah, they are changing. And it can be a scary time as we hold on to what we think is solid. And being on this transition team is a matter of hospicing that which is ready to be released and midwifing that which is ready to emerge. And it can be a scary place to be. But being on the transformation team, the transition team, means that we all become participants in the emergence. We are the ones to help bring it forward. And it starts with a vision of what it can be. And it starts within us and moves outward. And as you heard in the announcements, there are opportunities coming up to become a part of that change. So beginning next Sunday, there is going to be a weekly half-hour meditation happening between 10:15 and 10:45 that everyone is invited to come to. It will be led by one of our ministers, our licensed teachers, every week. The purpose is to begin to come together as one and move our focus to healing, whether it's individual or collective healing, when we know that when people of like mind get together with a vision and hold that vision together, what happens? It does. So please plan to attend if you are wanting to help bring forth this paradigm of change. It will be available for you. And consider coming on May the 20th to the half-day gathering, which is called the Transformation Transition Team, and see if it's a fit. Is it something you're interested in getting involved in? During that time, we're going to be looking at in greater depth to these cultural and social changes and the evolutionary pattern of it to see what is on the horizon and how we can participate and what we want to be a part of actualizing. So I invite you to come if that's of interest to you. See if it's what you want to do. Because don't you feel like it's time? Yes. Really? It's like new thought has a place in this emergence of something new. I've always known that since I've discovered unity. It's like we have something to offer here. You know, we teach this stuff. We've taught it for years. Let's put it into practice together. If we really believe it, we create our world by what's within us. It's time. Don't you feel it? But we don't have to wait to get started. Today has the potential of expanding your opportunity to express your visioning ability right now. And I love that. It's always now. So here's some questions you might want to consider. How have you used your power of imagination to create what you want in life or what you don't want in life? Something to just look at your own life and see where that's happened. Is there a time that you have seen it, brought it forth, or feared it and found, just what I was afraid of, it's happened. And then what's your current vision for your life? And there's some possible areas to look at. You don't have to do them all, but maybe one or two. What are you imagining for yourself in those areas? Body, health, job, relationship, prosperity, whatever it is. And what might be a belief I need to address in order to bring that vision into manifestation? Because that's a mountain we need to climb. And this is what can happen. We can get the vision, we can start taking the action, and up find that belief. There it is. And that's the opportunity, if you've done the Q process, that's your opportunity to work with that belief. And as we overcome those, we carry on in the process. So don't ever discount your power, your place in it. Every single person that's here is an important part of this process. And we're all here to step into who we really are and to be it in our world. Do you know that about yourself? Say it like you mean it. Yes. So as you consider each of these realms, ask yourself, do I even have a vision for this? Maybe I don't. And if you don't, take some time to get still. Ask your heart for guidance and listen. Just listen. And when you get a little spark of an idea, fan that flame. Fan it with feeling. Pay attention to it. Listen for what your next steps are to make it a reality. And I hope to see you on the Transformation Transition Team. And so it is.
So unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, and for forgiveness in the presence